Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, you know that music. Sabres game day. They begin a bit of a road trip here, back-to-back, tonight in Utah, tomorrow in Colorado, I believe Saturday in Detroit. And boy, they have been just injured to hell. It's not even just injuries, it is also extenuating circumstances off the ice as well. We bring in now Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline. And Paul, yeah, it feels like every other day another big blow is coming to the Sabres.
Yeah, it does. You just get a couple of guys back, then a couple more go down. In Kulik and Zucker's case, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, quote, injuries. They didn't pull a groin or break a leg for Kulik, he was getting the fluid around his ears checked out. And while they were doing that, separate from it all, they find a blood clot, which really, from a human interest standpoint, is good they did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that can kill you.
Yeah.
If that goes untreated, that can kill you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not exaggerating here. So, I mean, it's good they found that. And then Zucker is so bad. He has, he came on WGR yesterday morning with the boys and said, Lindy Ruff said, Zucker hasn't had solid food in 9 days. So not only is he that ill, when he is able to get back on the ice, he's got to get his strength back.
Yeah.
How long does that take? I can't tell you.
I mean, it's incredible, and I don't use that word positively, of course. It feels like blow after blow after blow, and yeah, you're looking at human interest stuff here. Zucker not eating solid food for 9 days, the Kulik blood clot, and then Dahlin having to go back to Sweden. He dealt with something horrific in the offseason, and then you also just have other injuries. Benson's picked up an injury here or there. It's incredible, and now they're on this road trip.
Benson
Utah
starts the season taking a punch to the face.
Right, he starts the season, gets an infection, or so whatever happened there.
Well, don't forget the one injury they couldn't afford to have, and it was the first one. Josh Norris. They have nobody to fill in for Josh Norris. This team has no depth. I mean, the Florida Panthers are hanging in there okay, and they don't have their top two players who are superstars in Barkov and Tkachuk. Ottawa, look where they are. Brady mm-hmm. Tkachuk isn't playing for them. Batherson didn't play for a long time. Maybe it hasn't been as the injuries haven't been as numerous, but they certainly have lost their best players, and they're hanging in there too. So not only do you have injuries, but Bo Byram has just been nowhere this year. This mm-hmm. is a guy who's a fourth overall pick. He's playing like a street free agent right now. And it just, you can't have that. You can't have, playing like that. I mean, Peyton Krebs is a number one pick. Again, he's playing like somebody claim off waivers. Jack Quinn, high number one pick. He gave you what, 4 games?
Yeah, he's had some flash.
Where he lived up for it, lived up to it. Now, Owen Power, I think, has had a pretty good season. He had one or two fairly bad games. I thought, actually, he stepped up pretty well in Darlene's absence so far. So I think that's encouraging to see some of the improvement that I've seen in him so far this year. Nothing. Tage Thompson, nothing. I mean, your best – not only do you have the injuries, but your best two scorers were slumping. And now they both – it's interesting how Ryan McLeod, when he was with Doan and Tuck, I believe Money Puck had them the seventh best line in the NHL. And I think we could have guessed that without even seeing the analytic numbers. You could just see how good they were together. So in the third period the other night in Carolina, when they have an awful second period, they put McLeod with Thompson and Tuck. I think they spent the whole third period in the offensive zone and scored two goals. And it just seems like McLeod really has a knack for him being able to help with lines and help motor lines. He has that speed, which helps. And so he has helped two different lines now. But and I don't disagree with Lindy having him up there, but with him up there, you're a one-line team. I mean, people like to number lines. All right, I'll number lines for you. You got a first line and three fourth lines, basically, is what you've got right now. But I'm not criticizing. I think you almost have to. I mean, you had to get Tuck and Thompson going, and splitting them up and having other people around, or maybe having put Doan back with Tuck and McLeod, and hopefully Thompson can get. Thompson wasn't driving lines. He was just blah. So you got to get him going. And maybe after that third period, what we saw, McLeod, will help those two get going and he can get on the board.
One of the combinations I saw from yesterday's practice, Paul, that I am back to a little bit more intrigued is they reunite Östlund with Rozane and Quinn. It was one of the more entertaining lines the last time they play Utah, oddly enough. And now they have a chance here again to kind of reform a kid line, so to say, Quinn being part of it, but it's Östlund and Rozane who've played a lot of time together on task in Rochester. They play well together in Rochester, and now here they are again having an opportunity, and hopefully it becomes a first line, only two fourth lines, and a kid line.
Well, one of the reasons, I don't know if people realize this, no team in the NHL this early in the season has done more to ruin the Buffalo Sabres than the Utah Mammoth. The Utah Mammoth are the reason the Sabres have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. Not only did they come into Buffalo and play much better than goalie them totally, since that game where their goaltender stood on his head for the first period and then basically stood in the crease after that, they've given up 15 goals in three games. Mm-hmm. So that's they have lost three straight games and five out of six. Well, who have the Mammoth lost to? Tampa Bay, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto. And then they come in and beat the Sabres.
That's all the Atlantic.
I mean, yeah, just doing absolutely zero favors. Thanks, guys. We gave you Paterno.
Nobody has been worse to the Buffalo Sabres in the NHL than the Utah Mammoth early in the year, with what they've done. I mean, the teams around Buffalo, they're handing 2 points to. They hold Buffalo to no points in the game they play them. And they showed that you can score on them because in the last three games against Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, Utah has given up 15 goals. So I don't know if they're going to be a little mad as they come home now from that debacle. At least they can be had. At least they're not the best team in the National Hockey League. At least in Carolina, your top players were your top players again. So just pick up where you left off in the third period, and I think you'll be fine. And I think you can come in and win this hockey game because your best players are going to be your best players. And if you get some production out of some of your best players, you can come in this game because you've got to win this game. You've got to. Look at where they are right now. I really, 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 mm-hmm. really hate saying this. I really mm-hmm. do. But this is the early crossroads that they have failed for the last 14 years. Early in the season, I mean, it was just around Thanksgiving time when the 13-game winless losing streak, whatever you want to call it, hit last year and eliminated them. Here they are. They've now lost three in a row. They have the worst record in the Eastern Conference. And they're 4 points out of the playoffs. You go into Utah, Denver, and Detroit and get nothing, that's it. Yeah. By the weekend, you're done.
That's the scary part of this, too, Paul.
Because it's the same thing mm-hmm. that I know you have heard me say this for how many years. You were probably in junior high school the first time I said it. it was like, okay, four. All right, let's say you're down 6-7 points by the end of the weekend if the disaster hits. If you're in ninth place, I'm probably not even mentioning it. It's like, all right, you're down 5-6 points. You can make that up. The team in front of you for the playoffs, there's only one team in front of you. You can get that. That's not a big deal. You're not eliminated. You're fine. You just got to start winning some hockey games. But right now, you have to leapfrog every single team in the conference.
Again.
Up till eighth place. You have to leapfrog everybody to get there. Right now, you're 4 points back. If you come out of here and you're still only 4 points back by the end of the weekend, okay, you're fine. You haven't eliminated yourself. But if you're 6 or 7 and you have to leapfrog everybody.
Again,
ain't happening. It's just not. It's not going to happen. They almost did it the 1 year when Florida got in by one, beat the Sabres by 1 point. They leapfrogged 5 of the 6 teams they needed to get by. So they almost did it once. But it's just an awful tough task to have every team in the East have to falter. Are they all going to falter for you so you can get by them? Even if you go on a modest winning streak of some types, you'll come up. They did last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically in dead last, and then that last month of the season, they played very well. They passed some teams, about half of them, but that's not good enough. That didn't get you anywhere. What did that get you? Where you go, well, maybe we can pick up where we left off this year. That's where it gets you. And they're finding out they can't because it's a different team. It's different guys.
Yeah.
You're not going to pick up where you left off. It's a different team. So this game, to me, I know it's November, and I know there are 82 games, but this game, Colorado, I don't know. What are you thinking? 3 points maybe minimum in these three games? Minimum. To stay alive.
That's kind of what it feels like. And Paul, this is the frustrating, scary, however you want to put it, situation is we've already laid out how they look in terms of the injuries. They're not getting any good deals here. It is all a raw deal.
Nobody's coming back in these three games.
No, exactly. And to a certain extent, outside of the human interest, I think a lot of Sabres fans are kind of like, okay, we do this every year, though. You look like this. I mean, we're 3 losses in regulation away from on Monday. Everyone's talking about Gavin McKenna from Penn State and restarting the drought or restarting the tank all over again.
Well, they're ahead of enough Western Conference teams.
Right.
I don't think that's going to wind up being in the conversation.
No, but people will want it to be. That's the problem. Everyone will be like, all right, trade off Thompson, trade off Tuck, let's move on. And that's a frightening place to be. And it's not that long ago, Paul, that we were talking about, does this team look different? And they did. They were picking up loser points. They're crashing the net. They're getting timely saves and good goaltending. They brought themselves back after starting the year 0-3. And it just has not gone that well. And you mentioned they got Utah. And then they've got a Colorado team that is white hot and is kicking people in the teeth. And then Detroit, who seemingly the Yzer plan is starting to finally work and they're starting to look pretty good. It is not a comfortable Western road trip. It's not like they're going up against San Jose's and starting it in Nashville or anything like that. It's not that at all.
Yeah, this is a 4-game road trip. You're already 0-1. And in your last 3 games overall, you've picked up 1 point. You're 0-2-1. You've lost all 3. So, that's why you're the worst team in the conference because you've picked up 1 point in 3. I mean, it was crazy when they were doing really well and only had 1 regulation loss in, 9 or 10 games, and they're just basically sitting there in the middle with 1 point out of last place and 1 point out of the playoffs. But everybody was with them. The problem is everybody is leaving them right now. I mean, the teams that are with them are starting to dwindle. And now they're getting 4 points ahead or 3 points ahead. And because you can't afford to put a string of losses together with everything this tight.
You can't do that. Yeah, Paul. And it is getting to a point where it is frustrating. And you mentioned a player that needs to step up in this amongst a couple of the players there. I do think that it's smart that Lindy Ruff broke up the Byram and Kesselring pairing there. Byram with Timmins yesterday, Bryson with Kesselring. Byram's got to be playing better, and it has been glaringly obvious. I think no more No worse, I think, than in that Carolina game, that Byram was just almost a blight on the team that night in Carolina.
This is a fourth overall pick we're talking about, who I have seen live up to it at times. But, again, it's just not been good at all that you're looking at. It's too many, you know, too many guys who aren't living up to it. And, you know, I was told because people were getting on Rasmus Dahlin, and I said, come on, you got to give this guy some grace. I mean, none of you understand what he's feeling. I unfortunately wish I didn't, but I do. I know how scared he is. I've been there. I mean, you're helpless. There's nothing you can do. At least in my case, my wife was here. She wasn't in Sweden. But you know, it's that dominates your thoughts. We forget that athletes are husbands, fathers, you know, and that type of thing. And they go home and they have to figure out their bills and they have to figure out getting kids to school and figure, you know, just like everybody else does.
They are
now,
still
they have a lot more. They have a lot more money to operate with than everybody else does, you know, to figure things out. But things like this are happening to Rasmus Dahlin's fiance has nothing to do with money. You know, this is real life. So, you know, of course it's going to affect his play. Of course it's going to affect him as a human being. And you got to give the kid some grace. I mean, it's just, you know, and as I, you know, moving on to some of the other guys, people don't want to give Owen Power any credit because he doesn't hit people. And I couldn't care less if he throws another body check the rest of his career. If he kills plays and does better in front of the net and takes plays away there and joins the rush, I mean, it's killing plays that you need out of him. You don't need him to be standing guys up and killing them like Scott Stevens used to. I mean, you don't need him cross-checking people around the neck 25 times like Craig Reve used to. I mean, but you need him to kill plays. And I think for a lot of this season, he has. But in this town, if you don't have 15 hits in a game, they don't want to know anything about you. And I think there has been improvement in his game. I think he's improved his strength. I've noticed he can lean on people a little bit now. And that's all you have to do. You don't have to run him through the back wall. I mean, the overtime goal –
yep.
He gave up the one. That's the example of what he needs to do and didn't. He had the guy covered, took him to the wall, but let him come off the wall and score. No, just you've made the play. Don't let him come off the wall and beat you to the net. That was the problem that I didn't like about it. He was fine until then, and that's where he has to learn. And at his age, take a look at what Victor Hedman was like at his age. Take a look at what Erik Karlsson was at his age. Take a look at what Rasmus Dahlin was at his age. They weren't Hedman or Karlsson or Dahlin. They were struggling. So it doesn't always happen like Quinn Hughes. You know, Quinn Hughes stepped into the league and he was fantastic.
Yep.
You know, it didn't happen that way for Rasmus Dahlin. You know, it took him a while too. So it doesn't always happen that way. You know, so I'm not saying that Owen Power is going to be a great defenseman. I don't know. But I still think he has the opportunity. What I am saying is he still has the opportunity. I believe he's 22 years old at age 22. I certainly would not. I wouldn't give up on Byram yet either. You know, I think he has the capability, because I've seen him do it, of playing like a guy who was drafted fourth overall. But too many inconsistencies from guys that should be playing better.
Paul, finally tonight, though, the return for Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring. Obviously, we had Paterka's return to Buffalo. Now we get the other side of the trade for Doan and for Kesselring. Their first game in Utah since being dealt over the offseason as well here. Doan has been a pleasant surprise. Kesselring, I thought he needed a couple games because he had no preseason to get really warmed up here. And I do think that him being off of the pairing with Byram, it wasn't working between the two of them. So hopefully having Bryson there for Kesselring will be better for him there as well. But yeah, Doan and Kesselring tonight, their return to Utah.
I know. Bryson is who he is. He's a number seven defenseman. That's who he is. But it makes, I just shake my head. The guy is always ready. He can go a month without playing. He played very well in Carolina. And he hadn't played in a while. And he jumps right in, and he's ready to go. He keeps himself ready. Most players can't do that. They need some time to ramp up if they haven't played in a month or whatever it was. You know, and so I thought he had a really nice game, you know, against Carolina, just jumping in after he hadn't played in a while. And that's what he's here for. He's not here to be one of the top six. There was so much hand-wringing when he got signed. I go, but you people just stop. He's a 7-8 defenseman. That's all they did. That's all they signed. Relax. They didn't sign him to play next to Dahlin. I mean, for what he is, that's fine. He doesn't complain. He knows what his role is. You know, last year he wound up in waivers in Rochester for a while. Again, went down, played well, didn't complain. And, you know, so it's just one of those guys that I just – too many people worry about Jacob Bryson and him being on the team and whatever. Just move on. There are a lot bigger fish to fry in this hockey team than Jacob Bryson being the seventh or eighth defenseman on this team.
All right, Paul. Game time tonight. It is the first Sabres After Dark, 9 p.m. start time, at least here locally, 8 p.m. pregame. We'll hear you on the pregame. But thanks for jumping on with us, and we'll talk again soon, man. Enjoy the game tonight.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Paul.
Hamilton there on the West Her Hotline. Yeah, they're gonna need to do something on this road trip.
They're going to need to do something,
I think, tonight. I don't count the Carolina loss, though, because they haven't won there since 16. So I'm like, yeah, our loss, got it.
They haven't won since – well, it would have been an awfully nice time to change
that. It would have been a great time. I'm just not holding my breath for that.
But. No, yeah. But also, you haven't won in Utah.
No, that's right. That's right.
Ever.
That's right.
So
still fresh, but yes.
Yes, but fix that.
Yep. So Utah tonight at 9, tomorrow Colorado, same time, and then Saturday at Detroit.
Especially win that 7. Game because Colorado's literally the next night.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, you got to win tonight.
Colorado, by the way, 11-1-5 to start the year. They've had one regulation loss. Yeah.
Yeah, win tonight, please. Please win tonight. Otherwise, this can get off the rails fast for them. Like Paul just mentioned, all of a sudden, the teams that you were hanging around with at the bottom are leaving you at the tarmac.
Start really passing you. 803-0550, the number two call. We also have some injury news for Bills Bucks. Bucks running back Buck Irving back at practice today. He has not played since late September, but he is at practice today. We'll see if that means he's playing this week, how much he practices today. But that is the report from Ian Rapoport and Rick Stroud down in Tampa Bay. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. We'll be right back. This is WGR.
I'm going to pass on talking about injuries. Since Rich, he's not here, has all the answers. So you guys can get all the injuries from Rich. Well, I'm telling you to ask Rich. Well, you better call him.
No disrespect to you or Rich, but like, we want to hear from you.
You guys have been hearing from me, but now since we're just reporting stuff, you know, that I haven't said, then maybe you should ask him.
That is New York Jets head coach Aaron Glenn, and boy, his first year has not been a good ride at all.
The Jets? No way.
I know. Oh, man.
No matter how good the idea, the New York Jets find a way to go, but what if it was with the Jets?
Yeah, let's see how
I love
much
this idea,
up.
But what can we do to make it worse?
I love the Aaron Glenn hire for them. I thought he was somebody that could bring in a better culture for them, quote-unquote adults in the room sort of deal. No, it's been the exact opposite. It has been a tire fire there kind of from day one, because now you look back to even the handling of Aaron Rodgers seems now more petty than anything. And this clip kind of points to that might be more his nature. I don't know.
It might have been Aaron Glenn actually just deciding
that's that. Him. That's who he is as a guy.
Yeah.
And now here, he's getting upset because reporters tweeting on injuries. And now he's going to make everybody else uncomfortable. It's so weird and just kind of off-putting.
Not everything has to be a fight, especially when you're 2-7.
Well, and that's my thing too. Take a look in the mirror. There's a reason why people are going to be more critical. You're 2-7. You started the year 0-7. Your quarterback can't throw more than 70 yards. He got 41 of, like, what, Justin Fields threw 55 yards. He got 41 of them off a Breece Hall pass. There's a reason why, man.
And, again, not everything has to be a fight. That's the thing. Glenn has become so combative over, like, quite literally anything at this point. Because this is not the first time he's done this year.
No.
Like, all you have to do is just settle in, man. Know that the questions are going to be a little rough. You signed up for this. You don't need to fight back every time. You're in year one. Pace yourself, man.
Right. It makes some friends in the media. I mean, it gets some allies here.
Not even that.
It's instead, it's just he's picking a fight with everyone. Well, but
pace yourself, too,
But if next year they're not good, you haven't got anyone in the media sitting there go, guys, give him time. Like I know the vision. I've talked to him. He's going to have a bunch of people going, yeah, I can't wait to get him out. Good. Yeah. Let's go. Let's pick up the process here.
I'm just more or less at the dog. It's year one.
And you're right. Pace yourself.
Pace yourself.
Ugh, just. Yeah, it's the Jets. I mean, what's even surprising at this point? They're going to have two firsts next year and three in 27, and they'll probably botch it somehow, some way. 803-0550, the number to call. We were talking Bills in the first hour. We took a little bit of a detour there with Paul Hamilton. Talk to the Sabres tonight as they're in action in Utah. But we will get back to the phones, and we'll start this segment off with Sean on the line. Sean, what's going on, my man?
How's it going, Zach? Hope you guys are having a good day.
You as well.
Thank you. All right. So let me premise this conversation. I'll try not to be long-winded. Let's both agree. We are in agreement that Joe Brady was the passing game. Let me say this again. The passing game coordinator at LSU when they set all the records, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So let's go into this real quick. Dan, I am not like a fandom. I'm more of an analytics guy and a film guy, and I actually watch this stuff, this all 22 stuff. So to get to the point, I watched NFL Live the other day when Orlovsky was breaking down, and I'm going to piggyback off the last caller that was actually talking about before you guys went to Paul Hamilton. But basically, the route concepts are plain. This is the passing game coordinator, not the running game coordinator. This is a passing game coordinator for Joe Burrow. Pass game concepts are vanilla. They're non-creative anymore. So my point was, I'm glad, even though there were reports that they were in on Olave or Waddle or whoever, this wouldn't have made any difference if we would have spent all these first-round picks or whatever we were going to give for these people, because they wouldn't have been able to come in here in a half a year, get up to speed on Joe Brady's system. Like, they need to. I feel like they need to put more on the players as far as play calling is concerned. So in other words, Joe Brady, if his stuff is becoming vanilla, man, like after 6 weeks or something like that, start switching up your pass route concepts. Stop it with the deep overs or the layered concepts and stuff like that. And that's what Orlovsky broke down on NFL Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I was like really intrigued with, and he said even when they go to checks at the line and stuff like that, it's like two different plays. That's it. There's no creativity. So in my opinion, I'm glad they didn't spend anything on a receiver, because all that did would have hemmed us up for the next couple years without having draft picks. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, either he gets better as a creative play caller and not be so vanilla where defenses finally know and they're catching up to him, or B, you fire the guy and you get a passing game coordinator in here and then you go after the assets. That's all I wanted to say, guys. Hope you have a great day, and interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Sean, thanks for the call, man.
Appreciate that.
You know what's funny about Brady, too, is you bring up passing game coordinator. I mean, ignited a fire in college football. It is the 2019 LSU offense is still the most fun and aggressive and stylish offense I've ever seen. It was just
right.
Deep bomb after deep bomb after deep. Everybody's open. There's first-round talent, all-pro talent everywhere. It's incredible. And Brady, in many aspects, is considered the architect of that. He's not the OC, and he's not even really the full-time play caller, but he is considered by many the main architect. And then he goes to Carolina. And what does he get fired in Carolina for? Passing the ball too much. Matt Rhule wanted him to run the ball more. And they weren't running it enough. It was putting too much strain on their defense. They weren't a good team, but they were passing the ball a ton. Curtis Samuel has a career year with Joe Brady.
As a matter of fact.
It is, weirdly enough, just a Buffalo thing where all of a sudden the boundary receivers is a real problem. He can't get any use out of them. It's becoming very vanilla. I mentioned this too. Like, Dan Orlovsky's not the only one that's brought this up. Greg Cosell, when he goes on One Bills Live, has acknowledged the passing concepts are not very good. It is very strange because I will never forget when Brady was hired following his firing. I was taking over for Joe DiBiase, who at the time was producing, and we were switching out. And we both looked at each other and went, that's the heir. He will be the Bills offensive coordinator at some point, and thank goodness. Like, we were excited for that guy.
Yep.
And now that he's taken over, it has been very weird that it is not the passing game that has all of a sudden reignited itself. Because the LSU Joe Brady and even the Carolina Joe Brady, you would have thought, give me all the receivers, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I work
with.
Load me up. And instead, it has been much more of ground and pound, control the line of scrimmage, and dominate with the run game and limit possessions. And I think that has been him, because you go back to Sean McDermott's comments from the last few weeks. He's not happy with the passing game. He has mentioned not wanting to lose the fastball in years past with wide receivers. It is such a curiosity with Brady. And it is also something that does make me more concerned going long term of, dude, what happened? This was not the Joe Brady that was built up to eventually become an offense coordinator with Carolina and is now still being looked at as potentially the next head coach for LSU. That's why they want him. It's 2019. But 2019 feels so – I mean, it is long ago, but it feels forever ago.
It feels forever ago. And I think that some of this also has to do with – I don't want to go ahead and bash what he did at LSU, but he does have incredible talent on that roster.
It does help. That is fair. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Joe Burrow will help things. That's absolutely true.
I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not a good – pro running back, but he was fantastic at LSU.
Mm-hmm. And Thaddeus Moss at tight end.
Yes.
Randy Moss's son.
Yeah, so all I need to think of at this point is there is something to the coaching. Brady has shown to be almost unimaginative at times or predictable in others. Can they win, though? Yes. Things do have to go right. They have a dominant run game. That gets you somewhere in January.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm not saying running the ball is bad. I'm saying that when your entire offense is predicated on if your running back is getting off and you have an MVP quarterback, that's a problem.
The only problem here is they've become the wrong kind of one-dimensional when you have Josh Allen this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's weird. It's survivable in games. You can still succeed. But I'm sure as hell going to look at it and go, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that James Cook has to be the one that succeeds in order for this offense to get going and not Josh Allen? I don't know. I don't like it. It's weird. It can work in January, but it's weird. And I think that alone is enough to get people concerned. It's weird.
Ultimately, it would be one thing if your quarterback was Daniel Jones.
Right.
All of a sudden it's, hey, we need to kind of build a system around him to cover up his flaws and to make sure we're not putting ourselves in bad situations. Jonathan Taylor. They've also loaded up with weapons there, and we're also seeing,
they have
too,
tons of pretty good receivers there.
And there's moments where Daniel Jones looks awesome, and you're like, oh, man, like it was all the Giants' fault. Recently, though, not so much. You know, Jared Goff with the Rams, I think, is a really good example of this. Early in his career, who is the bell cow for that Rams offense? Who is the engine that gets that baby going? It's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley in those early Sean McVay, Jared Goff years is the guy. He gets that baby moving. But they also had Robert Woods, who kind of entered his prime. They had Tavon Austin, I think, as well. They had good weapons all around, and it was able to keep going. That's my biggest issue. It's not the fact that they are running the ball and that James Cook is good. Far from it. Good. They need elite players on the offense.
It's that when he's not.
They don't have another option. When I look at the Lions, they want to run the ball. They can also throw the ball. The Rams are one of those teams as well. Philadelphia last year, they're weird. It's up and every year they are.
Kevin Fatula is a bad offensive coordinator. He should not count for any analysis this year.
But a team that they're about to play, when they're healthy, Tampa is more than happy to run the ball with Bucky Irving. They also have a plethora of wide receivers and a passing game that allows them to, when they go up against a team, like the Bills are going to go up against Tampa, who have only given up 100 total rushing yards three times this year, they can sit there and go, cool, it's going to be the passing game today.
Carolina also gave up less than 50 yards in a three-game stretch, like per game.
Yeah.
And they decimated that. So it's all about, can the Bills just execute it in the run game? It is the problem that this offensive coordinator has suddenly turned the key component of the offense into the running back.
Yeah. Back to the phones. JD is up next. JD, how we doing?
Doing good, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, I think that Dean is paying a big price right now. First of all, I put the blame on players who get extensions and then don't live up to them, unlike James Cook, who does. I think that Dean has some big problems on his plate here, which is, number one, Keon Coleman. And if you watch the All-22, you can see it's a struggle for him to get open. But he's paying the price for that. Another thing is I don't blame him. I don't blame Dean for going big on defense in the recent draft, but there really should have been at least one wide receiver. Dean is paying a big price for these half measures at wide receiver in terms of Samuel, guys like this. I also don't think that letting Mac Hollins walk away was a real good idea. I thought that Hollins did real well and communicated with Allen real well.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen looks to me like a guy who really does not have the weapons that he needs. But I think Dean is paying a very heavy price. So I'll just conclude with this. The one good thing the Bills have done this year is they paid James Cook and then they went 50% of the game as the running game. That's the best thing you can do for Josh Allen. Limit him to maybe 25 or 30 throws a game. The running game clicks along. We lean on the running game. The running game has been a great, great asset this year. But the entire wide receiver room, Bean has a big problem. And again, half measures are availing him little, and I'll hang up and take your comments.
JD, thanks for the call.
Thanks, JD.
And half measures, I think, is the right way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And what's frustrating, maybe more than anything, is when you look at the raw numbers, the offense isn't bad. They're sixth right now in points for. They're averaging 27.6 points per game. That's the most irritating part of this whole thing, is that if the wide receiver room – here, Seattle. They draft Torrey Horton in the fifth round.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's a world beater.
He's been a fun piece for them.
But he's been a fun piece for them. If all of a sudden Torrey Horton is drafted in the fifth round by the Bills or the fourth round, and he's part of an offense that has Kincaid and Coleman maybe is in a more comfortable role, and Shakir and Palmer, that spreads them out. You saw it last year when they brought in Amari Cooper. It allowed everyone to just move down a slot in the offense and work in their more natural roles. It is the half measures. It's why you hear that he was in on a wide receiver or maybe multiple on trade deadline day. It is why last year they had to go trade for a wide receiver in Amari Cooper. It has to change this offseason. They're going to have other issues. Probably a linebacker. We'll see about edge. We'll see about offensive line. But the wide receiver position has been ignored, I think, because they believe Josh Allen will make it work with anybody. Because to a certain extent, he does.
And interesting that you bring up Seattle, though. Clint Kubiak is becoming one of these guys that people are suddenly focusing on. He was the offensive coordinator with the Saints last year.
Yeah, he's a dude.
Gets brought over to the Seattle Seahawks, and he seems to be very good at what he does here. He worked with Kevin Stefanski back in Minnesota. He has hopped around a little bit here. He worked with the Broncos with Nathaniel Hackett.
There we go.
But
welcome to the show, Nathaniel Hackett.
But Hackett hands play calling duties to Kubiak to end his season before he ultimately gets fired.
Mm-hmm.
He jumps with the 49ers, learns under Kyle Shanahan. Then he goes and he's the guy in New Orleans. And now he's the guy in as the OC with Seattle. Kubiak is an interesting young coordinator that teams might flock to as well.
Oh, I think when we're starting to wrap up the year and the head coaching cycle begins,
might he is going to be that favor. Guy.
And here's the thing, too. It's year two now for Darnold, but it's still Sam Darnold. And if they're putting up big numbers, and let's say, for argument's sake, go to the NFC Championship game, his name is going to be really brought up a lot. We'll see if he does the Ben Johnson route and maybe wants to hold on a little bit here, or if he strikes the iron.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's hot. We'll see. 803-0550, the number to call. Join Sal Capaccio and Matt Bove for the live recording of It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast at Batavia Downs Gaming and Hotel on Tuesday, November 18th from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Don't miss this upcoming events at Batavia Downs, including Thurman Thomas's tailgate party on November 20th and the Batavia Downs bar crawl on November 28th. Visit BataviaDownsGaming.com for more. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, we're with you till 12 o'clock when Sabres Live takes over. You're listening to WGR. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for a chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner is going to be announced during Football Friday with Shobin the Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations.
Dan, you keep firing up that pop punk. I'm just going to be vibing all time.
He's having a good Wednesday.
All times, every time.
We've been getting connected to our fans all day and yesterday as well. I've had a blast with that. I mean, I wish the Bills were better, but it has been a lot of fun to talk to everybody. And when we do that, when we get connected to our fans, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And for your viewing pleasure or listening pleasure tonight, we did mention Sabres are in action at 9. Mm-hmm. Before that, though, I think this got started 2 weeks ago. Maction, UB Football, they are in Central
it's
Michigan
Wednesday.
Tonight.
They're yeah. doing it wrong.
I know. Well, we had games yesterday. Now UB just gets to play today. Okay. We had Mac games yesterday. Don't worry.
Okay.
7 p.m. tonight over on CBS Sports, UB at Central Michigan. It'll also be over on our sister station, the Bet 1520. That's going to be at 7. I think pregame starts at 6:30. And then UB men were in action last night. UB women are in action tonight. They are at Vermont. The team UB men are going to be playing, I think, in a week or so. That game is at 4. Also, over on the Bet 1520, so do enjoy
Zach
that.
Zach is getting all the bills paid right now.
Yeah.
Generational run in the last 60 seconds.
Woo! No, I'm excited, though. UB football, they're weirdly – so they've had a weird year, to be perfectly honest. They have both been very good and very bad. They're 5-4. They are second in the MAC, though, and they will have remaining games, I think, against Ohio and Miami of Ohio to wrap this one up. Yeah, so they've got Central Michigan tonight, and then it's home against Miami, Ohio, and Ohio. They are still very much in a position to play for a MAC championship. They are second right now behind Western Michigan, 4-1 in the conference. Get the job done tonight against a team that's 3-2 in the conference, 5-4 as well. And then you've got Miami of Ohio and Ohio, who are right below you in the standings, to potentially play for a MAC title in Detroit coming up at the end of the season. That's going to do it for me and Derek. For more on the Sabres, though, who play tonight at 9. Stay tuned. Coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.